The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Do true believers always, truly, and fully follow Christ? Well, that's what we're going to explore on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. We're taking questions from listeners not so unlike yourself. In fact, if you've got questions, I hope you'll send them to us through email, radio@faithalone.com. Well, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, welcome to the show. My name is Sean.
Hi, my name is Bob.
Sorry, Bob had a pen in his mouth there. All right, let's see here. Let's take a question from, this is Michael. Michael says, John 10:27. Let's just go there. It's about John 10:27. Let me just read it so we know what he's talking about. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. All right. Michael says, John 10:27 is used by certain groups to say that a true believer will always want to hear every word of Christ and that they will follow anything he commands. These people reject salvation being an event and instead believe that salvation is a lifelong process, that the person has to breathe their last breath while in faith and being obedient, I guess, to be saved. I do not believe what they teach. My best explanation for John 10:27 is that a believer's new creature always follows Christ, not the believer's fleshly body. They follow Christ positionally because they have his perfect righteousness imputed to them. I'd like to hear your insight on this verse.
Well, interesting question from Michael, and I think there are multiple things we can say about it. First of all, Michael is correct that this is not a promise that anyone who is born again follows Jesus his whole life. If that's what it were saying, then what it would ultimately teach is sinless perfection, right? In other words, if Jesus' sheep follow him, and follow him means follow him on the path of obedience,
right?
It would sound like they would never vary from it. Now, I suppose you could say, in light of the rest of the New Testament, we know that believers sin, therefore maybe my sheep follow me means they mostly follow me.
Sometimes they get lost.
Sometimes they're in Sears or something, but most of the time they're...
In Sears? The department store? Yeah. I was just thinking the pasture. But you're bringing your sheep into Sears. All right. Have you ever never seen a shepherd or a sheep, have you?
I don't know. I never have, actually, no. I'm a city boy from Arcadia, California, but...
So you bring your sheep into Sears and one of them gets lost. You go to the intercom.
I don't take them to Sears. I'm taking them by Sears and some of them wander into Sears.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure.
And so then you have to go rescue them later. And I don't mean anything negative against Sears. I love Sears.
Apparently you're a fan.
Okay.
Sorry, there's a question here.
Something about my sheep follow me. So if it meant they mostly follow him, that wouldn't make much sense either, because obviously we know from Scripture that believers sometimes die as people away from the Lord. And we know that believers, like in Corinth, often never advance beyond spiritual infancy. And some of them died, 1 Corinthians 11:30, for getting drunk at the Lord's Supper.
Right.
So it's hard to say that the church in Corinth was following Jesus, even in some loose sense. But I think there are two possibilities, and Michael is raising a third that I've never heard, but it is clever. So let me tell you the three. Michael's is the view that this is much like 1 John 3:9. No one who is born of God sins.
Right, so that when you believe in Jesus, you're regenerated, and that regenerated part of you is perfect.
Right.
It doesn't sin.
Now, that's one of about seven major views on 1 John 3:9. So not everybody agrees with that.
Right.
But that would be my view, the gnomic view, that we never sin at all as an expression of our new nature or our born of God self.
And so Michael's suggesting that's the sheep here. The sheep that always obeys is that regenerated part of you.
Right.
Even though other parts, you know, your body, the body of death, the body of sin,
right,
the unregenerate part of you might struggle. Okay, now, so that's one view.
Now, that seems a little forced. The Lord would be expecting an awful lot to get that out of this, but okay.
Yeah.
It's a possibility.
All right.
A second view is the view of Zane Hodges.
Mm-hmm.
Zane Hodges argues that sheep following a shepherd is an illustration of belief
right.
and faith. And so that when he says, my sheep follow me, he means they believe in me.
So like in John's gospel, he uses believe like 100 times.
Right.
But then he uses illustrations of believing, like receiving, taking a drink,
eating the bread of life.
Yeah. Eating some food. And then this would be, you're saying, or Zane would say, a sheep following a shepherd would be another illustration of belief.
Yeah. But I've come up with a novel view. So earlier in John chapter 10, he talks about leading his sheep, and his sheep are following him, and they're in the sheepfold. And there's one that's trying to steal the sheep, right?
Okay.
And that's Satan.
Okay.
And he's coming to steal, rob, and destroy. But the shepherd has a grip on his sheep, and so his sheep are always with him. They're always following him.
Okay.
And so the possibility I've come up with is John 10 could be saying, my sheep go where I go. So when Jesus goes to be with the Father, then when his sheep die, guess where they go? To be with the Father.
Okay.
Look at John 14, 1 to 3. See if this doesn't bring it out a little bit.
John 14, 1 to 3. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also.
Now notice his sheep are following him to
right.
the Father's house.
Okay.
Now, of course, when Jesus then comes to rapture the church, guess what happens to all the sheep who are in heaven? They all go with him to meet the church in the air. And then when he comes to earth and sets foot on the earth, all the sheep follow him
okay.
and come to earth.
So,
and during the millennium, we'll be with him in the millennium and
right.
we're with him on the new earth.
So a lot of dispensationalists see John 14, 1 to 3 as a rapture passage.
Yes.
And you're suggesting that this might be a rapture passage.
When
John,
he says,
John 10, 27, about the sheep following him?
Not quite. I'm saying it's broader than that. I'm saying where he goes, they go. While he is in heaven, they will be with him in heaven
okay.
if they die. And while he's on the millennial earth, they will be with him on the millennial earth. And when he's on the new earth, they're going to follow him wherever he goes.
All right, so how does verse 28 fit with that?
Okay.
Verse 28 sounds like it's a evangelism passage. It sounds like he's giving them an initial eternal life and they'll never perish, right?
Right.
John 3:16 type of eternal life.
Right.
So how does that fit?
I don't know. Well, the reason, I mean, I'm laughing, but I really don't exactly know, because it's kind of an odd structure in 27. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, and I give them eternal life. Well, Hodges argues the giving eternal life follows they follow me.
They follow, which is an illustration of belief. Therefore, Jesus gives them eternal life.
I give them eternal
because
life.
Because they believe.
And they never perish.
And that seems to be the issue in verse 26, right? You do not believe, you're not my sheep, which
right.
implies the sheep belief.
And verse 27, if it is referring to belief, it seems to me it would have been so much simpler to say, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they believe in me. Or they believe me. But we don't have that. They follow me. And it's possible that I think Hodges' view has a lot to go for it. It fits probably better than mine with verse 28. However, verse 28 fits as well. In my view, verse 28 would not be something subsequent to verse 27, but it's something that occurs concomitantly with verse 27. In other words, they hear his voice, which I think would be believing in him, and he knows them, and they follow him wherever he goes. And, of course, he gives them everlasting life, and they'll never perish, and neither will anyone be able to snatch them from his hand.
Yeah.
So it seems to me both Hodges' view and the view I'm suggesting work. And, of course, Michael's view is interesting. It's a possibility. However, it doesn't seem to fit the context real well.
They would, you know, I guess people would have to think, this is my inner sheep. My inner sheep is following, but my outer wolf maybe isn't.
See, now, I'm not sure about my inner sheep.
Inner sheep, I'm not sure about that. But but in your view, we have, I don't know if we have time for another question. We can keep talking about this. But in your view, I'm trying to wrap my mind around your view. or that you're suggesting. You know, you're not going to take a bullet for this view.
No.
This is our show's about exploring the Bible.
Well, you may talk me out of it if we keep talking more.
So does this only apply to dead sheep is my question?
No, I think...
Because we're not where Jesus is right now. You know, it'd only be dead sheep.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You see what I'm saying?
Well, look at earlier in the chapter. In chapter 10, verse 1.
I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out.
Well, that sounds an awful lot like John 10:27. You've got hearing his voice, him leading them out, and they're following behind him. And then he says, and when he brings out his own sheep...
He goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. So it sounds like a discipleship. Well, no, it's not. You're not saying it's discipleship. You're saying...
I'm saying they go where he goes. Because
it's eschatological.
Well, it sounds like, it sounds like when he's talking about the door, this is the door to the sheepfold, which I take it would be to the kingdom. And, of course, John says he's using an illustration.
But he's taking them out of the kingdom then.
No, okay, good.
Right, he's leading them out.
He's leading them out from wherever they are to wherever they're going.
Okay. See, I don't know, listen, you will not get to have these discussions anywhere, not even in seminary. In seminary, the teacher just wants to get through his material.
And in seminary, if I taught this view, people would sit there and go, let me write it down.
They would not challenge you or ask you.
We're going to bring more back later.
We'll revisit it in the next episode.
But the idea that John 10:27 is teaching that Jesus' sheep never sin is ridiculous, and the idea that they don't sin very much is ridiculous. None of that's in John 10.
All right. Give us a review on iTunes, Stitcher, whatever platform you use to listen to us. We want that written review. It really helps us, and thank you for support to keep this program on the air. We'll see you guys next time.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Would you like to deepen your understanding of Scripture and the Christian life? Well, a great place to start is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free materials on the site available for you. One of those, which is extremely popular, is our magazine, Grace in Focus. It comes out 6 times a year. It's full color, easy to read, and people are really growing who read it. So come and get a subscription at faithalone.org. We would like to thank all of our financial partners who help us keep this show going. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can be a financial partner, visit us at faithalone.org. We are so happy when we hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If so, please send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On tomorrow's edition of Grace in Focus, we're going to talk about who can obtain eternal salvation. So join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep Grace in Focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.